Good morning, Howard. How are you doing this morning? I'm Jack, I'm Howard Warman. So glad to be with you. My name is Virgil. I am one of the pastors on staff. I oversee the youth ministry and the connection ministry here. And man, I am so excited for Christmas. But we do have to highlight Thanksgiving, because I love Thanksgiving too because of the pie. My wife loves making pie. I love eating pie stories and making that. So by the time we had four of us last year, we had three full pies. Actually, we had three, but three and six full pies. So I went after this all on my own. So they love pie Thanksgiving. But we are getting into this Christmas season. And it's going to be a little different this year, isn't it? With COVID and everything going on in our world. My wife and I were talking about it back when I said, yeah, we used to go to parades and we used to do like more caroling stuff, and you just go see family, and you this year it's going to be different. But Christmas is going to be great because it's about Jesus, but it's going to be different. And one of the things that we noticed would be really different would be if we made it where our Christmas songs were COVID compliant. So my wife, Kim, she's beautiful and amazing and all this stuff. She's next door, so I'm getting all the reward marks right now with her. She said, oh, you know, I would like to take a song and make COVID compliant. Just to see what it was up like. So, check out the COVID compliant Christmas carol.
Now, should we do this now? But I want to rise up and say, go. Or the fields we go, we. Yes? Riding all the way with a mask on, bells on bobs in a ring, and a hope close by horses. Now, I'm going to spread COVID. See you later, horse mask. Your spirits grow, which I enjoy. Wow, fun it is to ride and sing this way. So tonight with a mask on. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open. That works, open. Sleigh, hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open sleigh. But do wear a mask. Merry Zooming Christmas!
Merry Zooming Christmas. So, we're going to be Zooming or Google Hangouting this Christmas. Or, you know, though it's kind of annoying, it is a blessing to know that such a day is where we can't go. And it's easy to go back 100 years ago, they didn't have those capabilities. So, we are blessed during this season. So, what's going to do with Christmas? With it being different? And we look around us. The world is full of disruption, distraction, discouragement, and injustice. So what can we do during this Advent season? When everything else is shaking, we have to go back to unshakable. You know, the only unshakable thing in our lives, if you have a relationship with Him, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see that in Hebrews. He is the unshakable foundation. And guess what? That's what Advent is all about, is going back Jesus and remembering who He was and Him coming and bringing the hope, the peace, the joy, and love. And kind of wasn't just His birth, but then the death and resurrection and coming again. And we took all those things and remember during this season. So we all need to take a breath, pause, refocus, refresh, reflect, and remember what this season is all about. It's all about Jesus. When everything else is chaotic, our traditions are changing. We don't get to do things how we did last year, the year before, or 64, or 72. We have to go back to that foundation. It's about Jesus. Christmas. The only thing that's Christmas is about Jesus. So Advent. What does Advent even mean? It means the coming arrival of something or someone of importance. So Jesus was just Advent of all coming. But my thing is, when I think about Advent, we have to get to know why. We could look at social media or phones, but God has become the father of an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. One of the biggest accidents in my home over the last year has been the coming of the grandparents. This is a huge advent. You know why? Because advent also speaks to this expectation of something coming. So my kids, when they know the grandparents are coming from Nebraska, they stand at the window. And every call goes back to the center. It's like this sister imagines the window that's not going to grab them. It's not for another 3 hours, but they stay there. Expectant. Hoping for it. Joyful. Peace. And even loving. All those things happening. And when the grandparents show up, guess what? The So it's like, everything changed. Everything changed in my house when we got there. So, guess what? There is now no bedtime. If we're in bed for sale, we're ready to go to bed, they can go to bed. But there's no longer, you have to wait for dinner after dinner. You can have dinner before, during, and after dinner. Everything changes now for the grandparents. So, it says, when we look at Christ's coming, it's an advent that we need to remember. His coming is an importance for all of us. Why? You know, all history is marked up by BC, before Christ, and came as our own, which is after Christ. All history. So, advent is a time of remembrance of what was, thankfulness for what is, and anticipation for what will be. So, remembering the suffering and longing of the Israelites for the kingdom of the Messiah throughout the Old Testament. This is big, because from even the beginning, from the Genesis, there was this echoing and this thinking of that there would be a Savior coming. You see, when God was talking to Eve about that the Savior would bow to heal and that it would be crushed, there was this echoing of a Savior coming, of a Messiah coming. We see it throughout the Old Testament, and there was longing, being Passover. Which is a little bit after Jesus' message, we're going to take communion. What happened? When was communion? Still, it was at that supper, which was celebrating Passover. They were longing for the Messiah to come, and at that supper, Jesus was like, I am the Messiah. So we think back to remembering of this longing of Jesus coming. Thankfulness for Jesus coming into our lives and situations. Let me ask you this. Do you remember the magic of Jesus coming into your life? And you make him not just your Savior, but your Lord and Savior? If you've not done that yet, I would encourage you to think about what could that look like, really having an advent for Jesus coming into your life, reach out to the process of someone in your life that know, love Jesus, and talk to him about what could that look like, making him your Lord and Savior. To experience the sense behind of love, joy, peace, and hope. The anticipation for the second coming of Jesus, where he will reign as King. This year is especially interesting to me for Advent because we get to have a season of that longing and anticipation for things to change. And your spouse is like, Advent, cool, we buy some candles and some candy with Advent candles and Advent calendar. This is really fun, but this year, we all have this longing for things to change, COVID. We are tired of COVID. We're tired of things being in turmoil. We're tired of distraction. We're tired of the darkness around us. We're sort of saying, will the things change? No. So we can kind of have a sense of what the Israelites were going through, waiting and longing for Jesus to come. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at hope, peace, joy, love, the glories of Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. In Matthew 1:22-23, so all this is done, that might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is simply God with us. And Isaiah 7:14, the prophet Isaiah prophesies Emmanuel coming. Now, I know some of you guys out there are like, well, why do you spell it with a D or I? What's the difference? When it spells with an E, that's a Hebrew spell. When it spells with an E, that's a Greek spell. Means the same thing, God with us. Just to clear that up. So I know I'm not exactly an uncle thinker, so I can spell it wrong. It's whichever side you're looking at. You're going to go Hebrew spelling or Greek spelling. Hebrew or I. But you need to think of God with us. Isn't that cool? That God came to earth to be with us and walk with us. So he's in heaven right now, making intercession for us. Guess who lives inside us? The Holy Spirit. He is with us today. If you have a relationship with him, he is with us. Because of Emmanuel, we can live this Christmas season with hope, peace, joy, and love, engaging the world around us with those attributes. Not in ourselves, but in us who Christ is in us. Kind of sounds a little bit like knowing Christ and then making him know, which is what Catalyst is all about. We talked about earlier having a Pharisee out there. That's an easy way for us to share the love of Jesus Christ in a better way. But buying some gifts from people in the earth and understand we love you. You matter. You're valued. That takes so much for someone's life and their mentality during this season of COVID, where it's not been easy to go see some of our relatives that are in nursing homes or in hospitals. And this is the way we can say, you matter and you count. We love you. So how would it change your perspective on all these our actions? And the reality, God is with us, not far from us. I think sometimes when, at least for myself, when I'm distracted and discouraged, or walking over some, in some dark areas, I can lose sight of that God is with me, I get myself looking around me. I would encourage you to go back to that God is with me in the hard times, the easy times, and everything between. On the mountaintop and in the valley, and in the place between, where it's really great to think. He's with me. Hebrews 13:5 says it differently. For he such said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have a relationship with Jesus, he will not leave you nor forsake you. Even when you might feel it, he has it. Talked about a few weeks ago in our series on emotional health and heart and soul. Feeling the feelings. During a season like this with Advent, looking at our world around us, we need to feel the feelings that, man, sometimes we might feel hopeless. Sometimes I don't feel joyful. Sometimes I don't feel lonely. Sometimes I don't feel at peace. We've got to own that as a different for me. Experience what you have for me, walking with you, hearing that you have God with me. Emmanuel brings hope. And hope defined would be a confident expectation. See, Emmanuel brings hope. In John 1:4-5, the word gives life, this is Jesus. The word gives life to everything that was created. And its life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Darkness never can extinguish the light of Christ. Never can. It can get darker, but it's not going to extinguish that light. Because we have Jesus, we can walk in that light. In John 8:12, and Jesus spoke to him again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, it's not just where we say, hey, cool, Jesus came in, and he's the light, I can live the way I want. But he who follows after me, he who is obedient, he who abides with me, will have the light of life. We don't have to be concerned about darkness extinguishing that light. Bob Goff is a writer and speaker, highly involved with the Orange curriculum that we use here at Catalyst. I know Pastor Molly has loved him for years. Got her influence on my life, that's made it where I love Bob Goff too. He is one of best communicators I've ever been around. And a few weeks ago, he posted this about hope. I'll actually say exactly where we're at in our world today. And this quote goes this way. Hope doesn't go to sleep just because it's dark outside. The lights are tangled and stays up waiting for the rest of the story. I pose to you in my life, and I would say in some years as well, we have went to bed in the darkness and there's no hope. Maybe this is a season where we light the candle of hope in Christ instead of the rest of the story. There's more to the story. God's still moving. God's still working. If you don't see it, smell it, taste it, know it. He is still moving today. Notice surprises him. Nothing in the world surprises him right now. He is God eternal. But are we hoping in him or in us? The definition of hope is something that isn't seen or tangible yet. Romans 8:24-25. For we were saved in this hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So this is not an expectation, but we have perseverance involved with it. Oh, that's a dirty word. Perseverance is not patience. Most of the time, hope takes time and season. I grew up in a ranching community in Salt Lake City, Western Nebraska. When you would hope for a crop, you would plant the crop, but it would take months before you could harvest the crop. But you were hoping the entire time. But in our study, we've taught microwave hope, or I would say fantasy, or microwave fantasy, or microwave dreams, where I want it to happen now. I'm going to wait for 5 minutes, but it doesn't happen. This was a joke. That's not how God presents things. He wants that perseverance and endurance with hope. But it comes with life. At times we say we're hoping for something. But in honesty, you're probably dreaming about it, wishing for it, or fantasizing about it. So what's the difference between hope and fantasy? What's the difference between hope and fantasy? The supposed to turn hope is based in God. Faith is based in us. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In scriptures bring us comfort, but also help us with patience and endurance. Focus on our purpose and hope in God. Some of these unchecked can waste our time, treasure, and hope. Our fantasies, our dreams, our desires, those things based on what we want, not necessarily what God wants. This unchecked is a key word, but because is it wrong to have desires? No. Is it wrong to have dreams? No. Is it wrong that you have fantasy stuff? No. It's when they're unchecked and they become our focus of how we live our lives. Let me explain. Is it wrong to have an imagination? Is it wrong to dream of having a different kind of house? No. Is it wrong to have the something about a Corvette someday? You know how a Corvette wants to go. I don't know. I'm going to Corvette someday. Or whatever. Is that wrong? No, you're human. It's okay. When it becomes wrong is when it becomes our whole focus. But it's using that fantasy that's not based in God. Number one. Number two is when we don't take those fantasies and dreams and desires and submit them to God. We have to take those to God and say, oh, here's my dream. What do you think about that? Because quite honestly, the engaging comes many times from someone thinking through an imagination or a fantasy, like the airplane. I want to make it fly. It's like your hands more, right? No, but they start saying, what does it look like to fly? And they invent the airplane. So they're not necessarily wrong. They're wrong when they're out and not incest by the Holy Spirit. Because when fantasy becomes an issue, when dreams become an issue, then that incest means that I'm focusing on me to pursue them and not God. Our pursuit needs to be, our focus needs to be pursuing hope in God. What he's going to do, what he called us to do. Proverbs 4:11 says it this way: a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Hard worker, I don't believe today, along with the fucking music, do your job, do a good job at working really hard. I think it's really putting your hands to what the Lord has called you to do, and listening to him, and being obedient to his calling in life. And you're not plenty of food, you're not. A great relationship with God at that point. But if you start chasing your fantasy, it's not going to go anywhere. I could chase the fantasy of being an NFL quarterback. I'm 37 years old, and I've played football since I was in high school. But I could be an NFL quarterback. I could sell a lot of money trying to do that. I could try to sell things for old guys. I think I could spend a lot of money on it. That's fine, but is that really what my calling is? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? You have a whole culture tied into people trying to run after their fantasies. Look on social media. Even social media, in some ways, is a fantasy. I have all this input in people's lives. Well, do you really? There's video games out there. Are video games bad? No. But when they become our whole focus about winning on another level, or there used to be video games online where people would spend their whole time, all their money, and everything else, living out this fantasy world in this computer. And missing out on what God really has for you. It could even be Christmas. You spend all your time fantasizing about the Hallmarkian Christmas, if you will, the Hallmark syndrome. Like, how's the kid? You guys remember Thomas the kid? Back in the day, the perfect picture that screams just right, and your light is where it's supposed to be, with ornaments and presents and a big table, and the sort of fun is just perfect. It's like a white Christmas type of feel. It's like, oh my word, how is what? You need to have that. If I don't have that, then it's not a great Christmas. Because all our focus on these ones is about cost. We lose sight of what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. So our sicknesses may come from our desires or our wants. James 4:3 is this way. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you will spend it on your pleasures. Here's the thing. We need to go to God with our fantasies or those dreams or those desires. But then you also need to have a conversation with God. Are they righteous or not? Are they called by him or not? In this season. Are they successful or this time? For me. Faith is also comes from the expectations of the world and a desire to live up to its standards. Like we were saying earlier, the Hallmark syndrome. It's huge. Many people keep up with the Joneses. I need to have more likes than we got in this door. I need to have more gifts. I need to have more, money on a Christmas vacation. So on and so forth. And we spend ourselves in debt and we cause a lot of stress and we lose sight of that about Jesus. And start running after the world. 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We can get so caught up into the different aspects of Christmas, we lose complete sight of Christmas, the Christ of Christmas. So easy to see like this in the world to fall into the fantasy of God, just take it back to where it was in 2019. Lord, can we just think about the way it was? I'm tired of this deepening out versus saying, Lord, I don't like where I'm at right now. I don't like the world in which we're living with the chaos, the destruction, the mentalities, all those things. I don't like it, but God, you are still God. And show me how to hope during this Christmas season. That's what we need to be asking the church. And what is God doing in and through us during this season? It's a fantasy, it's just something that probably will never be. We will never have a Christmas like 1945 again. Why? It's not 1945. But we just have an amazing Christmas in 2020, led by God. Is it going to be different? Yes. Is it going to change our traditions? Yes. I'm not disputing those things. But when we put Christ at the center of it again, the price of our standard is Christ being glorified through hope, joy, peace, and love, then it's looking to be an amazing Christmas. Just different. Hope in the midst of destruction, discouragement, and darkness. We hope the word the Lord has spoken through His Word. Over and over again, we see in Psalms where it says, "In His Word I put my hope." To have the hope of God in your life, you got to be in Scripture. You need to spend time there. And is it reading multiple chapters a day? No. If you can get the YouVersion app, you can set up where it will send you one verse a day. Start somewhere. Read one verse a day. Think about that verse during that day. But start somewhere where you start spending time in the Scripture and listening to what it says to you today and how God wants to apply it in your life. Hebrews 10:23 says it this way, but as hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. If God promised that he's going to be faithful to fulfill it in your life. So we need to get tired of hoping. When you get tired of hoping, don't give up. Remember to hope in God, not in what you see or feel. Hope in Him. Live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Because when we start putting our eyes off of Jesus and onto our circumstances, we start to result, don't we? But when we get our eyes back onto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, including hope, joy, peace, and love, our perspective changes. Our mentality changes. Psalm 23:5. Why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my confidence and my God. I know I've gone through this multiple times over the last couple of months, but why are you cast down, O my soul? It's a question mark, though. Why am I cast down about it? Are you still down? Yes, I need our hope in you. Is there still hope in you? Yes. Even though I don't understand, I'm not hope in you. And there's life in that. There's life in that. Tom Kenny wrote, God Jesus has an amazing quote for when we get into those moments of weariness. Weariness with man in the world can burst into desperation for God. Has this season caused you to have a desperation for God or just to get out? Just to get out. I would say God is calling us to a deeper level with Him in feeling like this, a desperation for Him. Because when we're desperate for God, He can move and do things in our life. Unlike anything. Because we're undivided for Him. We're fully seeking Him. He's fantasies and dreams and desires that both Himself can actually distract us from God's hopes and desires and dreams for us, which are far more greater than we could ever think of imagine. He has a purpose and a hope for you in your life, even though you might feel here in the valley and it's over. He still has hope and a future for you. Jeremiah 29:11-13. Let's look at some of these verses as well. For those thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, God says peace and not only evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. God will open the future for you. But this goes back to that mentality of we want it now. My hope needs to be accomplished now. If you read before, in the same text, this is Jeremiah talking to the Israelites. Saying, you're going to go into captivity for 40 years. And while you're in captivity, guess what? Bless the country you're in. Be kind. Live for me during that season. And if it's 70 years, guess what? I'm going to do something. But their hope was based on what the Lord has spoken, not their emotions and not their feelings. That's based on what he said. Now, they own the feelings, which you have to own those with God. Say, God, I'm not feeling to you, but I know you're better than my feelings. That's a good thing to do. But there's a difference between owning your feelings, giving them to God, and letting your feelings decide your actions. And where you're going to go back to our series on healthy soul. Go back to our previous series on thankfulness. All these things come together to help us understand what needs to be open to God. Seeking and finding when you search for me with all your heart. Let me ask you, are your fantasies causing you not to be able to seek after God with all your heart? You're like, oh, I don't have any fantasies. What about that dream or that desire that's birthed in you? Like, if I just had a bigger house than things would change, if I just had a nicer car, if I just had a different family, I don't have that one now. Things would change. Can you find him? If your heart's divided, he's asking for all your heart. And when you do that, he will do amazing things. Then in the New Testament, Jesus 2:10, for we are God's masters. He has created the new in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masters in Christ Jesus. That's key. In the world, we say, oh, we're all great people and don't make anyone feel bad. No, it's key. We have to remember we're created anew in Christ Jesus. You can't have the hope we're talking about today about things, what's going on in our world through darkness and through discouragement and all those things. But everyone else says, how can you hope? You can believe hope because of Jesus. You have to have that relationship with Him. And if you don't have that today, please reach out to me, one of the pastors, one of the elders, someone in your life that knows Jesus, and we would love to talk to you about starting and having an active and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not based in religion, not based in church attendance, but based in knowing that He loves you like none other. That's the heart of the child, so for you to know Christ and to make Him known. So abiding in Jesus always produces hope. It doesn't disappoint. Not the time, but it will never disappoint you because this is Him. There's a man in Luke called Simeon. And this is a few verses after the birth of Christ. It's part of the Christmas story, but I love Simeon because he was a man who personified hope in God. Luke 2:25-28. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's death. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, and goes on to do a blessing prayer. So here's a man who was devout towards God. Jesus wasn't there yet. He was in a body, and the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him a word to stand on. It wasn't just hoping and wishing. He had Isaiah. He could say, oh, I'm not going to see death until Christ comes. But no, it was the Lord speaking to him. You will not see death until the Christ comes. So he's walking along, and then the Holy Spirit says, go to the temple. But other thing for someone who hopes is they listen to the Holy Spirit to give the promise. I forgot it. Yes, amen. It's spoken by him. Here's the promise. And then he is obedient to what the voice of God asks him to do. He goes to the temple. So some of us, we're hoping on the promise God gave us, but we're not willing to be obedient to what he asks us to do after the promise to fulfill that hope. He goes to the temple, and in the temple, he sees the Christ. That's hope. That's hope. And that's where some of us, we need to get to in our lives, and myself included, is that we hope in what God is speaking, not just in what I want. So if we want to get the promise of God, or yes, amen, so I'm going to find every promise in the Bible that's about prosperity and blessing. Well, that's good, but there's also promises in the Bible about that there will be persecution. And Jesus said, there will be persecution. They won't like you, they're not going to like you. That's a promise. So when we're surprised that the world doesn't like us, why do we get upset? It's okay to get upset. I'm not saying it's silly. But we can't just cherry pick all the good parts of the Bible and just keep the ones where Jesus said, hey, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I'm overcoming the world. Have hope. I am God eternal. Have hope. I am there for you. I am with you for this. I am doing something in and through your life. So we're going to get to hear a testimony from a man who's part of our little community here at Catalyst Church. Now, he is a man of living and hope in Christ currently. So God bless you.
My name is Stephanie, 35 years old. Freshly single, just started a new company. It's just my story. If I had to describe where I was at, I think we were just here before I had the one word would be happy. I've taken my decision to work as a manager for a fucking company. I came off the road with leading to an injury on the job, which ended up leading to an emergency surgery, which ended up leading to the final diagnosis from the lymphoma cancer. I just started going through a bunch of testing and I checked out. By the time I turned it all around, I was good. I was in remission. Things were going to go back to normal, but that was just the beginning. By March, my wife said, actually, said she wanted to get divorced. COVID was in full swing at this point. I went back on the road, pretty lost at this point. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know, what to do. I was very alone. I'm sure enough about my life. I started facing some more medical complications, which led me coming off the road. And was not allowed to return to work until all that was clear. I started testing for cancer. Back at the beginning of last year, when I started seeing everything unraveling in my marriage, and I wasn't sure what to do, and I knew that I couldn't be able to give the answers to what was going on. I couldn't connect with her anymore at this point. But I knew that I didn't want to lose what I had. So I opened my Bible and I started reading my Bible every day, and when I start out in the morning, driving the truck down the highway, I would listen to the Bible for probably an hour. At some point, I would find something in there that I could connect with, and there'd be like that white bulb moment. It didn't happen. What I know now and didn't realize at the time is that the love is actually making me a stronger person to prepare me for a war that was coming in my life. The people around me that knew what was going on, everybody goes to them, what are you scared? You know, I'm not scared. Well, why are you not scared? Like, you got all this stuff going on, you're not afraid of dying. I'm like, look, we're all dying. There's obviously things that I want to do in my life and plans that I don't think God's done with me, so why would I be scared? Fear is peace. It robs you of opportunity to be better, to feel better. I tell Spirit. You know, you can do all your own exorcism. With Christ and God really helped me. Because that's what I was doing. I was trying to figure out what he's asking me to do. But he's saying, he'll do everything in his power to get to the place where he's trying to use you. And he said he'll take everything from you one by one until that's your attention, which is exactly where I felt like I was in my life. I lost my marriage, my job, my health. It was brutal. I was a police officer, so I went over the terrible things in the military. I fought and seen some stuff and been through some stuff, but that pales in comparison to what I'm down through in the past year. It's much easier for me to deal with knowing that I'm not so alone like I thought I was. You know, even when the material stuff and the physical part of life was gone from the night. He wasn't. I mean, he still had my back. He was picking me up, or, he's got me. And that's a lot easier to wrestle through. And it's exciting to me. I mean, like I said, this is really a low point for me in my life. And it's, obviously not over, but things haven't improved. I mean, I'm still dealing with a lot of struggles, but yeah, things have definitely improved. And we're getting better. And now I have hope that they will get better. I can actually believe that I've got hope. I mean, it's not just me saying it. Yeah, I'm actually living hope.
Hope is possible. It's between the moment of hearing and the heaven. That's where hope provides. That's where hope lives. So what do you do while we wait? How does hope while waiting? Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect to look for and hope in Him, the Sabbath, by the way, will give Him His strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God. Raising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and grow tired. Are you waiting? Are you focusing on God? Are you getting closer to Him? Are you worshiping Him? Are you saying, Lord, where are you going to end the journey during this season? Are we keeping our eyes on everything around us that will distract us from what God is doing? And when we worship, something amazing happens when we worship God for who He is, with gratitude and thankfulness. You will start to feel an uplifting in the Psalms. It talks about how I look up to where my hope comes from. There's something in just if you're downcast and you're looking down, just the physical movement of looking up changes your perspective. Changing your posture of worship would be a way to put it. Changes your perspective on things. You will rise up like eagles. That's hope. Hope in God puts your expectations on Him, not us. When God speaks something to you, to hope in Him for, you don't have to make it happen. You just need to abide with Him and be obedient to what He has to do. Whereas fantasy, your dreams, your desires, puts all the expectations on you making it happen. And you pressing yourself to get it done. The hope that God wants to bring is freedom. But who takes fantasy will bring nothing but bondage. Hope rests in the arms of Jesus, knowing He will finish what He started in you. While your fantasies, your dreams, your desires will force you to look to yourself and the world to make something happen. Again, unchecked. God put the burden of proof on you. But when you hope in God, He's willing to control it. He's loving kindness. And guess what? God can do anything. He is the God of the impossible. So while you're waiting, sometimes some hope sick. Because of the way God, will this ever come? Will this ever happen? Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. This is a personal study a few weeks ago at a coffee shop. And then the Lord said, hey, look this up in the Hebrew and kind of study it out a little bit more. So the word deferred there can mean dry, to dissolve, or stretch. And heart sick, heart can mean your emotions, your intellect, your mind. And sick can mean sore or tired. So it's trying to understand a little bit why exercise that does is enough hope being developed and being stretched. Makes your mind, will, and emotions tired and sore. But when your desire comes, it's a true life. And true life to me, a firm strength. And you see this, when we have to go through perseverance for that hope, it seems the very thing that I meant to God, why didn't you make that happen sooner? After it occurs, it actually comes to the sense that God was with me then, he's going to be with me now. It builds our testimony to serve other people. So sometimes when we say, oh, hope deferred makes the heart sick, maybe God is stretching our hope to do something greater in our lives. And we need to look at those perseverance and expectation again on God doing in our lives, not us. It's a focused conversation. So remember, the Lord isn't done for you yet. Philippians 1:6, I am convinced and confident that this very thing, he that began a good work in you, will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. That's an adjective verse, looking at him. God's not done for any of us yet. Until we go to see him or he comes back, he is still working in our lives, that we are ready to become more like Christ. We've grown proximity with him. As we've grown proximity with him, we're able to do greater things for him. He is able to use us in this world to exalt in life. We can hope through it all. We can have confident expectation through it all because of Emmanuel, God with us. He is our hope. And so the worship team can come forward. We're going to get ready for communion here in a few moments. Lamentations 3:22-26 sums up why we can continue to hope in God at all times. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, cleanse my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hope in God, the hope in the Lord, because of his mercies, because of his compassions, because of his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, which is asking, the Lord is my security. He is our hope. He is our hope. I pray that during this Advent season that we will experience Romans 15-13 in our lives in a greater way than we've ever experienced before. And may the God that shall fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that we are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve God's hope, and he wants to have us abound in hope in the Holy Spirit in our lives. Abound is not just survival, it's abundance. It's over and beyond hope in this season. So, Advent is a time of remembrance of the coming of Emmanuel. Thankfulness for Emmanuel in the present. And hopefully, this space for Emmanuel coming in as we continue to be the Lord of Lords. As we transition into a time of communion, please find one, get your communion element, your bread, and your juice, or your donuts and coffee, or whatever elements you choose to do. I think we were talking about earlier about browns and chocolate milk. That could work as well. Laying flow with milk and honey, that's chocolate, right? And chocolate milk. But here's the thing. Grab your elements. Put this up in the church building. You have a communion cup here, real quick, just for an explanation. The top layer is plunge into your wafer. You peel that back if you take the wafer out, and then you can, if you're curious about my team, you can peel the top layer off and the bottom layer off and as you eat. When you are taking meat at the beginning of habit. Because we pull our remembrance in our hands. Our Jesus coming, dying on the cross, raising again. On Easter, we remember what he's done in our lives and what he continues to do in our lives daily as my Jesus Savior, God is our Lord. And we continue to do this in remembrance of him until he comes again, that he is coming again. I'll read some verses out of 1 Corinthians 11, and then we'll pray over the elements and pray. Starting at verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is you as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, that you came to earth, that we celebrate that during Advent, and that we all came to earth, God, with us, to make a way that we could be with you at all times. Your death and resurrection. And Lord, today as we remember that moment and what needs us today and what needs us in the future, help us to not take lightly these elements. There's nothing special to bring here with the Jews, but there's something special when we go back to the remember. That is all about you from the beginning. It's all been about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. Lord, we thank you specifically for the bread, for your body that was broken for us, that we could be healed, that we could have a relationship with you, Lord. That we don't have to live under the penalty of sin, but that we could have life with you. Lord, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for your body. Take the bread. Lord, we thank you for the cup that represents your new covenant, the covenant of grace, that we're able to walk in your grace every day, which is that power to live for you, that it's the foundation upon our hearts to walk out hope, joy, peace, and love. That we can have that relationship with you at all times. We do not have to go back and make sacrifices over and over again like social Hebrews, but one sacrifice for all time cleanses our sin and is where we need a righteousness with you.